Such an amazing and wonderful message from that song that we have such wonders to look forward to. And while we're in this world, we need to remember that we're not the only ones that have a wonderful thing to look forward to. We have to realize that there are many lost souls out there who don't know Jesus. And we are literally the only ones who will be able to bring the message of salvation to the hearts of those who need it. I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. A couple of very familiar yet simple texts in the Scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Jesus says very clearly, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Salt and light. We've heard many discussions about that, and I'd like to just address a little bit about just the salt side of this tonight. I want to talk about the salt and how that affects us and how we can all learn to be better salt. In the Beatitudes, we think about the character traits as you think about the things that Jesus has said about those who would be blessed. And those blessed traits are that they're poor in spirit, that they mourn, and that they are meek, and that they hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they are merciful, that they are pure in heart, that they are peacemakers, and that they are persecuted. That's a nice list, and it ends with such a negative thing, you would think. But that's what it means to be salt in this world, that those kinds of things will be yours. In order to be salt, we need to be a people that are poor in spirit. We need to be meek, and we need to mourn when we should mourn, and be able to be filled with the righteousness of God by the hunger and thirsting after His Word. And we need to be a merciful people, and we need to be peacemakers. That's what it means to be a salt of the earth. And finally, in the Beatitudes is the attitude of the world towards the citizens who are the salt of the earth. You know, if you are indeed being tasted by the world because of your good nature and your good spirit that comes from God, then we understand that the Scriptures in verse 10 through 12, they tell us that something, you know, seemingly very negative is going to happen. Jesus says in verse 10 and following, He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute and say all manners of evil against you for my name's sake." But He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is so persecuted they the prophets who were before you, or your reward in heaven is great." And so that's why we want to continue being salt. And so we have this attention shift. We're shifting our attention from the influence of the kingdom to the citizens upon the world. We need to take these attributes with us, you know, put them in your pocket, spiritual pocket, so to speak, and go out into the world and be somebody that addresses the citizens of this world. The citizens of the kingdom all need to get out and be salt in the world. How important is it, our Christian influence? And when you think about that, it's really a matter of a simple thing. None of us lives to himself. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. Paul wrote that in a very powerful way as we think about salt and light and the significance of that. We realize that as we walk through this world, that people see us. You know, they see me when I sit in a restaurant and eat. I have a tendency to pray before my meals, and I know that the Lord says, you know, we're not supposed to pray to be seen of men. That was something the Pharisees did. They would dress themselves all up and they would make themselves look like they were, having such persecution and hardships and troubles. And they would get out and they would stand on the city streets and they would pray so that men would see them. But that's not why I pray for my meal. I pray for my meal to give thanks to God. And if somebody sees me and comes by and says, I saw you saying a prayer. And that's a doorway to add a little salt into their life. No one's an island unto himself. And even when we die, we don't die unto ourselves. I met a young man at McDonald's in the Barberton area many years ago, and we began to study the Bible on a regular basis. I think we studied about 6 or 8 weeks in a row. And one day he came to me and he said, my grandfather died. He said, my grandfather was the greatest spiritual source that I had. And he told me that, you know, Dave, my grandfather on his deathbed told me that it was all a lie. He said, my grandfather told me that he's never really believed in Jesus and that it was all a lie, and the things that he taught me, he only did that to make my life easier. And then he died. And he didn't die unto himself. He died maybe taking his grandson with him. And it's so sad when we think about life and death. And we need to realize that no man is, quote, lives unto himself. Nobody's an island unto himself. We all possess influence, whether that influence is for good, whether that influence is for evil. We know what Jesus said. Jesus simply said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. We need to be salt. We need to be like the Beatitudes, all those wonderful attributes of a Christian life that represent the salt in our life. And we need to carry that out. And we need to bring that for the Lord into the hearts and the minds of people around us. And we don't want to be one who scatters abroad. So what do we do with it? When we think about it, what we're really talking about is the salt in our life. All the blessings from God, all the things that Jesus mentioned here, the ways in which we should be people, the mannerisms we should have, and how we should treat other people, we need to cherish that and protect it. No matter what the world does around us, no matter how much persecution comes our way, no matter how many people complain about the message that we carry to them, it's the message of truth. We love Jesus. Don't be ashamed of that. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. That's why you're here. We know what Jesus did for us. We not only love Jesus, our Savior, but we can love what He's done for us on that cross. Because He did that purely out of love. He indeed was the original salt of the earth. Because not only did Jesus say, blessed are the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or blessed are the those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He didn't just say those things. Jesus was poor in spirit. Jesus did mourn. Jesus did have a meekness about Him. Jesus was filled and hungered for righteousness. He was merciful. And He had a pure heart. And Jesus was a peacemaker. He is our image of salt. And we need to protect that within ourselves. You know, death doesn't even stop your influence. Think about the words that the Hebrew writer wrote. By faith, Abel also offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of this, of his gifts, and though he being dead,
still speaks. Abel died. He was the first man to die. And his death still speaks to us today. And it's true with everybody. When we think about the law, you know, the law of God, it converts the soul, it makes wise. The simple, the statutes of the Lord, they're rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. We need to be a people who, by our salt, live by these laws, converting souls and making wise the simple, rejoicing in the heart, enlightening the eyes, enduring true and righteous altogether, and keeping those things, there is great reward. And that's what it means to be salt. And the question then comes, are you the salt of the earth? When Jesus said that, you are the salt of the earth, there's two basic things being said there, salt and earth. And when we think of that, the distinction between the you and the earth is pretty simple. You identifies you as a disciple of the Lord. When Jesus said that, he was talking about being his disciple. He was someone who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the salt. And make no mistake of that. If you have obeyed the gospel, if you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, you are salt. And so we need to understand this, that the earth identifies everybody that's outside of Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You are the one who carries the good news, all the light of Christ, the salt of the Word, all that flavor of Jesus out into the world. And it's not going to get out there any other way. There's no big magic salt shaker up in heaven that salts people with the Word of God. You are the salt of the earth. We think about the characteristics of the salt. It's a well-known fact. This is from a book, Thompson, Land and the Book. Land and the Book is the name of the title of the book. And he says it is well-known fact that salt, the salt of the country of Palestine, when it in connection with the ground or exposed to rain and sun, does become insipid and useless. From the manner in which it is gathered, much earth and other impurities, and I want you to focus on that word, are necessarily collected with it. Not a little of it is so impure that it cannot be used at all. So, and such salt soon, if flourishes, or to change to powder or by exposure, and turns to dust. Not to fruitful soil, however. It is not only good for nothing itself, but it actually destroys all fertility wherever it is thrown. No man will allow it to be thrown on his field, and the place for which it is in the street, and there it is cast out to be trodden under the foot of men. And that's where Jesus said, if you lose your savor, then you're not good for anything to be trodden under the feet of men. But see, notice what he said there, the impurities. When you can't take the taste out of salt. But what you can do is add so much other stuff that you no longer taste the salt. And what I mean by that is that Jesus says when you're baptized, you're a member of the body of Christ, you're his child, and you are the salt of the earth. And you are pure salt at that moment. And you have a pure message from God, which is pure salt. But when you start intermingling that message with impurities, when you start in bringing in things from the outside, things that are not from God, when you start bringing sin into your life, and when you start doing things that are contrary to good doctrine, then you're just filling yourself up with so much stuff that people can't taste your salt anymore. It's not that you're not salt. Because, see, you can always get rid of those things and be tasteful again. Another thing about salt is that it's a preserving agent. Salt, it's good for people. Abraham and God, think about them over the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's arguing with God not to destroy the city. If there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30. Listen, he wanted God to not destroy Sodom. If there's just 10 good people. You know what it comes down to is there was really just Lot and his family. And that salt left. Now, remember that Lot's wife disobeyed God when she turned around and she looked back and she herself became a pillar of salt. We need to be salt that has a savoring and preserving agent. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 1, or that should be Job chapter 6, verse 6. That Jeremiah shouldn't be there. But let's look at Job chapter 6, verse 6. And see what Job says here. Job says, very simply, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Now, I want you to think about that. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? The answer is not easily, or the answer is no, not at all. And what I mean by that is that when we think about the world out there, remember, you are the salt of the earth. When we think about the earth, we're supposed to be thinking about all the people on the earth who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. And they are the ones who are without flavor. And if we take this to a higher plane, we think about God. He's the one who is going to receive those who obey into heaven. He's the one that Jesus is going to come back and take the kingdom and deliver it to the Father. But the Father is not going to accept anything that's defiled. He's not going to accept anything that doesn't have that taste, that flavor, that salt. Anything that's not been purified by the blood of Christ, and anything that isn't itself salt of the earth. And so, no, something that doesn't have a good flavor is something that we can't eat. And God won't eat sin. And that's what that unflavored meat represents. Where the salt of Christian is missing in the world, wherever it's missing, when for example, you know, you don't tell friends and neighbors, you don't give them the salt, you have to understand that the outcome of that, because you're not an island under yourself, you're not somebody who lives under themselves, and when you don't give that salt out, what you leave those people with is misery. What you leave those people with is apostasy, and wickedness is not far away. In Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. So if I'm not dishing out salt to my neighbor who's not a believer, and I'm not living in a way in which he can see my meekness, I'm not living in a way in which he can see my desire for hunger, righteousness, and truth, then my neighbor's not getting anything that's going to keep him out of hell. I am the salt of the earth. Every one of us is. When it comes to the salt of the earth, for the nation and kingdom which will not serve, you shall perish. You know, we take that as a grave responsibility that each of us, as the salt of the earth, have a responsibility to serve our Lord. in Genesis, it says, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Misery, wickedness, apostasy, and destruction. They were not far away from those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I realized that they weren't willing to listen. But in our time, we can't treat the city of Bedford like Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't want to take our salt and leave town. We want to be a people who share the blessedness of our Lord with others. Salt also can kill things which are undesirable. It kills certain bacteria, it prevents its growth, and Christian teaching and living will show the end of the ungodly practice. In other words, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying, I'm taking in the salt. I'm living for Christ. It isn't me who lives anymore. I've died to sin. And now I am the salt of the earth. And as I go around and I drop salt on people, which is the Word of God, just like the seed in the parable of the sower and the seed, I'm dropping this salt and people are tasting me and are tasting my good word and the good message that I have. And it's destroying the sin in their lives. Because I'm living for Christ. Because Christ lives in me. My salt goes out, and not only is it correcting me and cleansing me and killing all the sinful things that are in me, it's also helping everyone whom I come in contact with. Because salt does that. That's what salt does. How can our salt as Christians be tasted by other people? By your example. Paul wrote to Timothy, by your example, to the believers in the world. You see, you're not an island unto yourself. You don't live unto yourself. You're the Lord's salt. And you're being shaken out onto people by your example. And when we think about that, with diligence and fervent spirits, we do not want to be a people calling on the name of the Lord, giving the Lord the credit for our lives, telling people, yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I've accepted Jesus, and Jesus is in my heart, and all these things that people say, and then lag in spirit. Be not being diligent in the spirit, not serving the Lord, not rejoicing in hope, not patient, not continuing steadfastly in our prayers. But we need a people who are not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing in our prayers steadfastly. In other words, a zealous people. Because that's what people are going to catch. They're going to, that salt falls on them and it's catchy. They're going to go, boy, I like this. That tastes really good. My kids came over a couple Sundays back and we had steaks grilled on the grill that they bought me for Father's Day. And the steaks were really good. But you know why? Because I put a whole... You guys want salt on your steak? No, no salt for me. I put a whole bunch of salt on all the steaks. Salt and pepper. And they ate them. Dad, these are the best steaks I've had. These are really good. Salt. We need to be a people that are zealous. You know, we think of Christ, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works. That's what the salt does inside of us. Jesus redeemed us from every lawless deed. He purifies us with that salt. Salt is a purifier. It'll destroy those things that are ungodly. Again, that Word of God that is in us is what makes us have that salt, that Spirit of God. And they all came from the blood of Christ. Constantly. Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be constantly sharing that salt. Christ warns against losing our flavoring ability. You know, again, pure salt never loses its flavor. What happens, again, is you mix that salt with something else. When you take just a pinch of salt and you put it in your mouth, that's pretty strong. You take that same pinch of salt and you drop it in a 10-quart pan of water to boil spaghetti noodles, and you can barely taste that salt. And what happens is that it loses its flavor because we keep adding and adding and adding. We watch pornography on the internet. We allow sinful things into our lives through the television or through the radio or through associations that we have with other people. There's a brother that I know of, and I won't tell you who it is. He's not in this congregation, but I see things on the internet that he posts, and he's a Christian. But he gets himself involved with some of these bands. And there's a lot of drinking and alcohol and cursing, and I see a video that he posts on the internet in the background. You hear people, foul language, and then he brings the same people up and introduces them as his friends. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. If we're a friend of the world, we're enemies with God. James chapter 4. And we can't be both salt and sin. We can't be salt and earth. Jesus didn't say you were salt and earth. He said you're the salt of the earth. And so, it's important for us. And we can lose our flavoring agent in the world just by adding too many things. Christ warns against losing that ability. Can we lose our flavoring agent? In other words, can we lose the thing that makes us salty? Yes, you sure can. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. Because if you do, you'll end up loving one and hating the other. The one that you tend to hate is God. And when you start loving another master, when you start falling in, that master can be anything from a sporting event to a social activity to volunteerism to, I don't know all the different things, but there are so many things that I can fall in love with. Yeah, it would be easy for me to fall in love with golf. Of course, the way my back feels today after playing with him yesterday, I don't know that that's going to go very far. But the point is, it's easy for us to fall in love with the things of this world. And he goes on, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 that evil company corrupts good habits. Some other renditions say good manners. And so we need to be a people who are very careful about everything that we do. We need to be a people who are careful and let not even any kind of sin be named among us. We can't afford to allow people to look at us who are supposed to be the salt of the earth and be able to talk evil against us. We want to live such lives that people can't even point a finger at you. And be right. Well, that's the end of our lesson. It's so important for us to cherish the salt in our lives and protect our God-given salt. Protect the Word. Cherish it in your heart. You know, remember what we studied a couple of weeks ago? You write it on the frontlets of your forehead and on the wrists that you have and around your waist and on your doorposts. You're the salt of the earth, and you need to protect that. You treat it like it was something really special. Some of us are parents. Some of us are parents. We know what it means to have a baby that is totally unable to protect itself. So, if you're a parent and you have a child, Think back of those days when you held that child in your arms and that child couldn't eat without you. That child couldn't be clean without you. That child would smile when they saw you, and when you embraced that child and you felt the warmth, you felt the connection, and you cherished that child. And you need to cherish God's Word in the same way. You nurture this by allowing it to nurture you. You need to cherish that salt. And we need to remember that we're the salt of the earth. And the great distinction between you and the earth should be apparent. Salt is a preserving agent. Remember, it will help souls to be saved. And salt is a savoring agent. And by it, pleasing to God and to others. Misery, apostasy, wickedness exists only for a lack of salt. Because the salt we're talking about is God's Word. And God's Word came into the world as the light of the world. It came into the world to displace the darkness. The darkness is the wickedness, the apostasy, the misery, the sin. And your salt can take that out of somebody's life. Imagine the feeling that you have just by pouring a little bit of your good salt, your love for the Lord, your understanding of salvation right onto an individual that's suffering, and to see them be freed from that suffering. Properly applied, salt can kill sin. And that's what we want. We want that salt to go out there, kind of like the antibodies and the antigens this morning. That salt grabs hold of that sin, and salt can just cause it to deteriorate in a person's life. And at all costs, we need simply to heed the warning of Jesus and not lose our saltiness. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said, and if you lose your savor, where will it be salted again? And the biggest reason for that is simply because Jesus is the only source of salt. And losing the savor means you're turning your back on the Lord. Where will it be salted again? I want you to think real hard, if you're a visitor and you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, how important this is in your life. The Lord, He came down from heaven, the glories of heaven, and He walked among men and upon this earth, and He gave Himself a sacrifice for us. He was the pure Lamb of God. He had no sin whatsoever, not one ounce. He had never committed adultery. He never lied. He didn't cheat. He didn't steal. He didn't take the teacher's eraser and hide it from her. He didn't put anything bad in her apple. Jesus was a Savior that walked upon the earth without sin. And He's the only one that could be the propitiation for our sins, because He is indeed the salt of the earth. If you'll allow Jesus to work His salt in your life by hearing the gospel, by believing that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your sins, and allowing yourself to be baptized, immersed in the waters for the forgiveness of those sins, then you yourself can become salt on this earth, and you can go and help other people. More importantly, when the Lord comes to return the kingdom to heaven, you'll be a part of that, and you'll spend eternity in heaven with God. If you are salt of the earth, and you've kind of intermingled some of the world, or somehow falling into sin, that salt can be rejuvenated by confessing that sin and giving that over to the Lord. Whatever the need you may have this night, while we are here tonight, we make that offer to you. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.